news, everyone.
It's Jake Z. Lee.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great. Everybody else sucks.
Let's get dangerous.
Yes, sir, random kid I just met.
It's time to check the link.
Oh, wait, you serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list.
Hooray. People are paying attention for me.
It's all good. Football.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No, burn.
What is up, you turduckins? It is All in Football, week 12. Oh, man, season, we're on the back third of the way with Chris Meany, myself, Jake Seeley. On FTN, make sure, reminder, code only gets you 20% off over at FTN. And you might want to wait a day or two before you sign up for The Athletic. If you haven't yet, I don't know why you haven't, but the Black Friday deal, it's going to be that $1 one where I don't know why you wouldn't take advantage of that one, but that's coming. So, and if you hear my voice still, I'm still getting past the, I'm sure you can hear it. I can hear it in my head. Like, you know, you can hear your own voice. But we're going to get you ready for week 12, mainly before we even get started. Like, so no jokes aside, they actually, the Canadian Thanksgiving is which day? It's a different day.
It's in October. Yeah. It's first
in October.
It's like the second Monday.
Do you have like the same like turkey and all that type of stuff?
So what's you've been working with me long enough to know? Yeah, it's
favorite
it's very
side.
Similar.
Favorite side.
I'm a big stuffing guy, but that's like I feel like that's included. Like that's a must. Stuffing, mashed potatoes.
No, I mean that's an individual side. I mean not everybody has to do it, especially if it's homemade. I ranked that number 3, and then number 10 was more stuffing and rolls.
More stuffing.
Rolls was number
1. Yeah, I know. I did take a look at your rankings. I agree, especially on the worst side of things.
I always get the most pushback on cranberry sauce being on the worst side.
I'm pro cranberry sauce. Yeah, I am pro. I mean, I wouldn't fight you on these, but I would have. I'd probably have them around like 8 or 9. Cornbread's not a Canadian thing at all, but you know, I've had it. It's pretty nice.
I just need
the
more
mac
bread
and cheese.
In my life. Just don't put corn pieces in it.
Yeah.
Nicole was actually surprised that I like stuffed mushrooms because I hate vegetables. I was like, it's fungus.
Yeah, it's like different. It's a vegetable that's not, right? You know what I mean? It's like
have you ever said grilled portobello? Throw that on things? Ooh, see, there you go.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll go too far is there was somewhere local, I forget where, I tried it. It was the portobello burger. So it was just a portobello. It wasn't actually a burger. It was the portobello. That's too much. There's too much of that texture where it starts getting weird.
I would agree. I've had, it's been good or bad, but sometimes like it's just so big and I just can't get through it. It's just half of it. And then stomach starts to turn and then I need to get rid of it. But no, these rankings are good.
It's so big. I can't get through it. And didn't Michael Scott you, but I kind of just did.
Pretty good that I set you up for that. speaking of promo codes, gravy as well over at FTN. 40% off. All the packages over at FTN and the optimizer is free all week. So if you're looking to play some DFS on Turkey Day with 3 games, get in there, get your feet wet, try it out. Hopefully your season long teams are not dead, but
you
got to
come over. You got to join Joe Hokla and me. You got to come do a segment, just a special one-off segment to bring the band back together. We got to make sure we can yell about Beowulf and get canceled off of that too.
Yeah. Who are you going to talk up this week?
I haven't got that far yet.
Wednesday
is my process to check the pricing, and I like Run the Sims, which, by the way, there's another code Ranks. If you haven't done Run the Sims, similar to much like FTN, but this one you can also like customize just like you can at FTN too, and like you can see the ownership, and then also it's got. I can promote both. I actually use FTN and line it up with the Run the Sims prop sniper, and I look at them to get that's how I find. Remember how you keep saying I'm all over them. Like you keep saying, like I'm missing. Like I sent you another one. I missed by one, and like
I don't understand.
I'm using the two, so I'm seeing what really good FTN ones and one good really ones on Run the Sims, and so it's kind of like I'm getting the best of both worlds, and I avoid like the ones that are just only on one on either site. You see what I'm saying?
I've never seen somebody be so close to
everything.
9, 10, 8 of 9.
I at least
six
dropped
of
it down to 6.
By like 1 yard or 1 catch. It's,
oh my God.
Mostly one
we're
yard.
We're going to get to the ranks, but I am so glad. Meany's talking about it. I did college football this weekend, which by the way, great picks over at FTN for college football and college basketball. Mm-hmm. I did one and I missed two guys, one by a mile. I'm really glad I missed that one, because the other guy was 32 and a half and he got 32, and I would have lost my mind. Like,
yeah,
just,
that would have been a bad beat on the leg. It was a ton of legs on it, too.
Maybe so. That's what I should do. I'm not the all-in kid anymore. I should be the bad beat kid.
You shouldn't be the bad beat kid. Yeah. Shouldn't be going all in, foxing these picks, right? 8-9 picks. This is like limited down. 4 picks. If you do 2.
But here's the problem.
You're going
to
hit one of
okay,
them.
We're going to get to the ranks. We're 5 minutes in. Real quick. Here's the problem, Manny. I've tested it myself because I am me. It doesn't matter if I do 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It doesn't matter. I get one wrong. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if it's 3 or 10, I get one wrong. It's just insane. That's why I liked Prize Picks, is because prize picks, if you get all but one wrong, they give you some credit back.
Yeah.
So that's why
I dig that too. Yeah.
As we talk about all these things that have nothing to do with week 12 ranks, Thanksgiving foods, all these. But hey, like, a lot of people might be into that, especially at this point of the season if your team is belly up. So there's something to look at for there. All right. Where do you want to start this week? Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, news.
Kickers.
That's what I thought, Manny. Let's start news. So, news this week. You like that? I don't even ask. Yeah. I just straight to it. No Aaron Jones. I mean,
yeah.
It's
most
not official.
Not. Yeah.
Most likely no Kenneth Walker. So, Let's start there. A.J. Dillon, Zach Charbonnet, two huge pickups. We've played the A.J. Dillon game before, But because of who Charbonnet is facing, I feel they're both actually in the same conversation as low end. I was excited for Charbonnet. But terrible matchup this week. I have him as low-end RB2s because both of them, volume-wise. But the one I want to focus on – actually, you know what? They're both in the same situation. Jaden Reed has got Deebo Samuel usage last week, and DJ Dallas could actually throw a wrench into the side of the passing game for Charbonnet. Do you think either have concerns that it's even worse than low-end RB2?
No, not based on volume. Based on volume, okay. I think it's definitely low on RB2. But the matchups, yeah, they're both bottom 10 matchups, right? Both teams pretty good against the run. I from a betting standpoint, since we were talking about it, AJ Dillon's rushing attempt prop opened up at 13.5. Like, I've really slammed the over on that one. I do expect him to have 15 plus touches. He's been catching passes out of the backfield, so I could see this matchup against Detroit, even though it's not great. A 20 opportunity type of running back and to pick somebody up off the waiver wire. I know somebody reached out to me the other day and they had Walker and they had Aaron Jones. These two guys we were talking about. And there was just like nothing on the wire besides like Samaje Perine or Latavius Murray. And it seems gross, but I would go that way. And then Charbonnet as well. I jumped on his receiving yard prop. I am worried that DJ Dallas could catch a couple passes, but he's been having some targets and catches anyways with Walker on the field and active. So I think that another 3 or 4 grabs and probably 15 plus opportunities. It's that I worry about probably him the most because San Fran is just so legit. And Detroit's had some holes defensively lately.
They have. San Fran, interesting enough, on the passing defense.
Oh, yeah.
Hasn't been as great as.
Yeah, big so. Plays. Yeah.
All right. Well, then in more news, in case people missed it, Daryl Henderson is waived, which we knew Kyron Williams was coming back, but this is kind of like the official.
Yeah. Yeah.
This actually made me raise an eyebrow. It's like, I wonder if Ronnie Rivers is coming back too, because Ronnie Rivers is eligible to come back as well. But even so, they clearly like Royce Freeman as the next one up, splitting with Ronnie Rivers. I'm putting that as in, like, I don't really want to play either. If Rivers is out, I could see playing Royce Freeman as, like, a desperation RB4 for a touchdown only. But Michael Thomas got headed to the IR.
Yeah. So, like, he done.
Yeah, he done. He's a soccer player, just came out of nowhere. Boom. he's going to the IR. I want to get... You and I talk about this? I want to circle back on the A.T. Perry thing. I have A.T. Perry as a higher ceiling, lower floor than Rashid Shaheed, but I do think he has the higher ceiling if he's out there like he was. Now, granted, came in middle of the game, but once he came in during the middle of the game, he ran as the two. Shaheed stayed who Shaheed was. And given his all-around route-running ability, which is still not – I mean, look, it's not perfect. It's still raw, still getting to the NFL, still some things to look at. But A.T. Perry, I think, has the higher ceiling – because if he steps into the number two role, that you have that with Derek Carr at quarterback. But if it's Jameis Winston, even more excitement. But are you with me on – are you just going to say, Shaheed, just lock him in? Don't even think about this too hard.
I don't think I'd lock in any of them. They're really close to me. I think that Shaheed has the higher ceiling just because his big playability.
Really?
That's where I'm at.
So if I told you 6 catches for Perry and 3 catches for Shaheed, the yards could be about the same is what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, I could see. Yeah, I could see Perry for like 4 for 35, but a red zone target for either Carr or Jameis Winston. We already saw that, right? A red zone target, mm-hmm. and for Shahid, I think it's every game I see at least one deep shot, whether they connect or not. I see at least one deep shot because of his speed. So it could be one of those, you know, two grabs for 45 yards and maybe one's a touchdown as well. It could be a fun game between the Falcons and the Saints. I don't know. Is there anything? Last I saw is Carr still in concussion protocol. So he's got a couple days to figure this thing out. Or it's Jameis. He
had almost full 2 weeks. But then again, we saw that happen earlier this season with Roschon Johnson.
Yeah, with Roschon. So it's possible maybe we get Jameis.
Would Winston affect the wide receivers? Because I put it in the article, Winston doesn't affect the wide receivers for me. Winston affects one person and one person only, Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill is playable as a tight end one with Derek Carr. If Winston's at quarterback, done.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think part of why we didn't see a lot of Taysom in the last game, because they did get down in that game, it was game script. But maybe he gets a carry or two, Taysom Hill, inside the red zone. That can continue. But I think that maybe there would be a slight uptick for Rashid with Jameis. I don't know. I think he's got a better deep ball.
Yeah.
It may not be accurate, but it's. I think it's.
That's a better deep ball.
Stronger. Yeah.
So also more reckless.
Absolutely more reckless. Yeah.
All right. So the last thing as a reminder, Thanksgiving and Black Friday games this year. We have the three on Thanksgiving and Black. So we have Packers, Lions for a reminder for everybody, then Commanders, Cowboys, 49ers, Seahawks, which we're talking about, and then Dolphins, Jets, Black Friday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I said a few weeks ago to you when the NFL had the Christmas Day games, they're just jerks at this point. They're just taking over everything. They're trying to ruin your Black Friday too. Like, they're just like all over the place. Have you done any Black Friday shopping yet? The deals don't seem to be as good as past year. Like, I'm usually on top of this because I have a few things that I, like, I hit Vitamin Shop to get my protein drinks. I hit a few staples every single year, like vitamins in general, like supplements. But, like, in general, like, the deals just don't feel great this year.
I haven't done too much searching. I will tonight and tomorrow, and on Friday. But I did pick up a snowblower. That was a pretty decent deal.
I don't have to worry about those down here.
You don't have to worry about that. I have to worry about that. There's already snow on the ground up here. So
if we get any snow, we get like maybe one a year. And if it gets past 3 inches, everything's just shut down anyway. So
it's normal for us to get 3 inches every other day.
Yeah.
Stitch you up again.
Let's get back to Black Friday. Or Black Friday, Thanksgiving, and then Black Friday. We already talked.
At least we're not seeing Zach Wilson. I'm kind of excited to see somebody different.
Well, so that's what I was about to say. We got two more things. We got no more Zach Wilson. Actually, not even Zach Wilson, the backup. Zach Wilson.
This is his third string.
Sorry, I was
laughing. See you later.
Coda is dragging her bed across the room to play. She's losing it. So am I. But anyway, so I want to talk about that. And then Matt Canada. Fired. Blame Canada, everybody.
Man, that guy's brutal. I was looking deeper into his numbers.
Your country needs to stop ruining things.
Sure. And at the hockey game alone, they were yelling, fire Canada, fire Canada. 36 games. I saw this stat on NFL Live, the 36 games roughly as an offensive coordinator, and he was outgained in 28 of them and outgained in every game this year. And never had a 400-yard offensive game. So I don't know how much it changed because it's still Kenny Pickett under center.
But here's the situation I want to throw out, and this is what I'm going to present. This is not even just a rankings thing. This is, do you take the opportunity because trade deadlines in most leagues Yahoo was last week.
Yeah.
ESPN is next week. There's some that are this week.
There's some that are.
I don't like the Thanksgiving ones. I like the week after. But anyway, point being, they're all over the place. If your trade deadline hasn't hit, do you see this as a buy or sell opportunity for anybody with the Steelers? Because I think the one that's sitting there I actually think there's two. I think Deontay Johnson's a great buy low. I think people don't realize that Deontay Johnson isn't as bad as perception-wise, especially with his first two games back. Everybody already forgot about those. But I also think that not only is Deontay Johnson a buy low, I think Jalen Warren's a sell high. Now, he could easily get the switch and get 70% of the work and be the new one. But Mike Tomlin does have a say in some things. And I brought up earlier this week, because all people did is scream on Twitter all day, or X, what the hell ever, Monday and Tuesday about Jalen Warren this, Jalen Warren that. Look, there is no denying it. We've said it all year. Jalen Warren, objectively and subjectively, no matter which way, you want the numbers or you want your eyes, he is better. We've said this.
Absolutely.
But I keep bringing it up, and I brought it up with the fact that, like, sometimes these players are better in a timeshare. Joshua Kelly, A.J. Dillon, go back to Lamar Miller when he got all the work and he put up the same numbers. Or, as I went through that, how about this year? Tony Pollard. How about somebody even threw back in this comment and said, what about Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler back in the day? And I'm not saying Jalen Warren doesn't deserve more. What I'm saying is if it's 60-40, yay, we're all excited. But you might have people in the leagues that are like, ooh, Canada's gone. Jalen Warren to the moon. And if you're going to get top 15 value for Jalen Warren right now, I think that's a sell high. Obviously, don't sell him if you don't get that. But I think that's an opportunity.
Yeah, I don't mind that mindset. I'm trying to think of what running back I'd rather have than him. Like, if I don't think you can Brian get a Bijan. Yeah.
Brian Robinson.
Look at some of those matchups. He's got a couple.
Yeah, I just wanted to.
Yeah, really tough this week. I think I like Rashad White's matchups off the top of my head. I was taking a look at his.
If I could get Warren, switch Warren for White, by the way, top 10 in so many numbers since about week 4, I think it is for Rashad White.
Yeah, and we always just ripped on the efficiency early, but I thought we gave him a pass. I know myself I gave him a pass because I thought the matchups were extremely tough to start the season, but he just gets all the usage and he continues to get a lot of targets out of the backfield. So, like, Bijan Robinson comes to mind, Rashad White. These are guys that I would rather have.
I have a great one for you.
Okay.
Yeah, so, well, actually first, no, I'm going to save the great one because first is, would you trade him for Alvin Kamara? Cause I would in a heartbeat. I think people hate Kamara for no justifiable reason.
Yes. Yeah, I would.
I got so many, are you concerned about Alvin Kamara's? And I'm like, for what? What did I miss? What did I miss with Alvin Kamara?
The last game was just a dud altogether. Yeah. I think from the Saints. Everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much. Yeah, okay. I would do that move. Yes, absolutely.
So here's one more before I get to the one I want to – would you trade him straight up for Saquon Barkley? People are worried about their schedule.
Tommy DeVito? I probably would.
Actually, not trash. I would take Barkley.
Hey, he's got more
– What was the first thing I texted you on Sunday afternoon? I was like, you and Joe Pizzapia hated Saquon Barkley too much.
You know, listen, 2 weeks ago, I didn't like him at all. I had him in the mid-20s against the Cowboys, but it was a much better matchup against Washington. Yeah, I mean, the ceiling is on full display, and I don't like him this week either. I mean, the Pats have been the fewest rushing yards allowed per carry at 3.4, 3.6, but it's still Saquon, and he could rack up some catches, and he's a game changer. So, yeah, I would take him over Jalen Warren. I wouldn't sell Jalen, though, unless you can get some of these names that we're talking about, because I do think that these matchups coming up, and I think it's going to continue to be maybe 60-40. Maybe 60. I don't think Najee's.
I mean, if it was 60-40, that's still an uptick. It's 50-50. Actually, it's 55-45 again, back to the last game.
And that's kind of what I think will continue. But he gets an uptick because he looks better and he looks fresher and he's just doing more with the ball.
So here's the last one. This is the one I wanted to tell you. So the last three games, I'm going to give you this guy's half point PPR. 5.2, 6.6, 9.6. Hasn't scored a rushing touchdown since week 5 after that he did it 3 weeks in a row. So he has 3 touchdowns in the season, 3 weeks in a row from weeks 3, 4, and 5. No double-digit scores since week 7. So 3 in a row, single digits. Do you have an idea who I'm talking about yet?
No.
He just faced your team. Isaiah Pacheco.
Pacheco. I mean, I love Pacheco still.
Okay. Pacheco's been down. That's what I think you
maybe it was just a Philly thing, but he looked awesome in that game.
But against Miami, 16 for 66, 8 for 40 against Denver, and everybody runs all over Denver. I was just bringing it up because I think that's if we talk some bigger names, I think that one you could easily get straight up right now.
Yeah, I think so too. Just looking at the last three games, you're right. And not as much vault. What I was really excited about with Pacheco is that he was going to get some work through the air, and it was looking like 4 catches, 3, another game with 6, and back-to-back there. He had 10. But, yeah, I do like these matchups, right? The Raiders, the Packers, fantastic. The Bills have so many injuries, and then you get to the playoffs. You play the Raiders, they're going to win by a couple scores. Maybe he falls into the end zone. So that's definitely one that I would take. And I would say you could do that. You ask most people, they would rather have Jalen Warren, I think, at this moment than Pacheco.
Okay.
I'd rather have Pacheco.
I definitely think you go that route. All right. So
would you buy, you're only buying Deontay? You don't care about Pickens? You just don't think there'll be enough volume for him?
I guess the thing we could go back is that first game with Deontay back, maybe that Pickens usage comes back around. And actually, I don't mean the usage as in the targets. I mean the usage as what they're doing with him on the field. Maybe it still comes down to Pickett for me. And Freiermuth is back. Takes another opportunity away. Please get Deontay Johnson and Freiermuth. Kenny Pickett, by the way, you're allowed to use the middle of the field. You know, between the hashes.
I know.
Mean, like, you can't, like,
He doesn't throw.
Does he have reverse blinders? Like instead of the horse blinders like this, he has like blinders that go like this, and he can't see the middle of the field.
And then I don't think that they can just change their identity because of the quarterback play. I just don't think they can say, "All right, now we're going to uptick and be pass happy here. We're going to throw the ball 40 times a game." I just don't think that they're going to be able to win football games, and Tomlin knows that. Like Canada's done some brutal things, and he deserves to go. But at this end of the day, they have to win football games by running the ball, slowing the pace down, and winning with their defense. So I tough go, man. Buy Pickens in Dynasty if you can.
In Dynasty, I would. I'd even buy Deontay Johnson. He's not that old.
Yeah, yet. I think they're both awesome wide receivers. Too bad. Wasted.
I wanted to go back to what I brought up about Jaden Reed with the fact that he was getting some carries at the backfield. But not even so much for that. It was that Jaden Reed was actually on the field for a snap more than Romeo Doubs. I continue to say Romeo Doubs is still the number one. There's somebody like, I don't know why nobody wants Romeo Doubs. He is not yet past 60% on Yahoo.
I know.
I don't get it.
54%, like, he's got 7 touchdowns. What are we doing here? I don't get it. Hell, he's like, dude, a like, perfect flex guy. Just put him in. He scores touchdowns.
Yeah. What? He's not a wide receiver top 15? Like, okay. There's only 15 wide receivers that can be top 15. Like, yeah. A great wide receiver 3. I don't get it. But that aside, I said, I think Reed is past Watson for usability, especially if he's going to be getting some touches out of the backfield, and he's getting some looks as well. Do you play Jaden Reed against the Lions this week as a wide receiver 3? Is it Reed versus Watson if you only had to pick one against the
Lions?
I
would pick Reed.
Okay.
I think that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, yeah. If you have Doubs, just continue to play him, right? I have him too. Doesn't seem sexy, but the past few weeks, it's like, he scored a touchdown. I'm going to finish with 9 to 10 points. It's great. Awesome. And I still think he's the guy for Love inside the red zone as well. There just seems to be a fade to him every other game. But Reed definitely over Christian Watson. I like the talent that Christian Watson brings to the table, but it's just not working.
So this is where Romeo Doubs has finished this year, weekly. This is wide receiver 10, 82, 13, 13, 100, 23, 38, 51, 30, 17. 1, 2, 3, 4,
that's
5,
like
6.
Only 3 outside.
I know, 6 top 30s, another inside the top 40, so that's 7. Yeah. And then you have the 100, 82, and 50. If you told, like, that's normal for a wide receiver. Unless you're the elites of the elites, hell, and without even looking, I would guess that Romeo Doubs is actually a wide receiver 2 on the year just by looking at those finishes.
I would say at worst 3. He's probably on average like a high-end wide receiver 3.
Romeo Doubs. Yes, I guess I would have guessed a wide receiver 2, but he's 30. So there you go. Smack dab in the middle.
No
he is on the heels. He is barely behind.
Maybe the most disrespected wide receiver in fantasy.
He's in within 4 points of Terry McLaurin, Tyler Lockett, and DK Metcalf just straight in front of him.
Amazing. Unbelievable. Yeah, and so that's the thing when I got together with Kyle Soppy and we talked waivers, and I guess he's a Packers fan. I didn't know this. We were talking about Reed, but I said, well, like, who's going to pick up Reed if nobody picks up Romeo? Like, nobody wants Romeo, but everyone's just going to pick up Reed. Like, who would you rather have the rest of the way? And he said Romeo, and I was like, I agree. That's the guy that I want, but Reed is definitely up. Trending up in this offense to the Debo comment that you had. They're just finding a way to get the ball in his hands in space. And why wouldn't you? Because he does. I mean, that's on full display with the ball in his hands. I don't say he is Debo, but he does kind of show that type of upside.
Okay. Well, flex. I want to roll through. What I'm doing on my phone is I'm looking at some of the waivers for flex to pull these into the conversation. Cause I want to see some of these that were
Breed,
picked up.
Had them, drafted them, dropped them in flex months ago.
Oh, that's because nothing went right for you in flex, obviously. So the Commanders and Cowboys, pretty much we know what you're doing here. You're starting who you're starting in those games. That's pretty easy. 49ers, Seahawks. We already covered Brock Purdy, by the way, just to throw out a little nugget for him. 6 games at 18 plus points. Sam Howell tied with him. Only 3 quarterbacks are in front of them. Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts. That's it.
Not surprised with Purdy. And you've been pumping Howell since week one, even before. Those are
preseason.
Yeah.
The only thing that saved me in a lot of leagues, Sam Howell. It's just
leads the league in passing attempts.
I had a lot of Trevor Lawrence and Sam Howell. And like Sam Howell's been the guy since like week 3 or 4, and Trevor Lawrence was last week. But I'm gonna get to that in a second. I'll hold Trevor Lawrence because I want to talk Dolphins Jets or Black Friday. That's the game. We don't know as of right now. Achan could play, could not play. If he plays,
I don't think I would play him.
Well, no, so I was about to say, if he plays, I don't think he's anything more of like what I just said with Royce Freeman. Now, RB4, because you have everybody available. Everybody's playing this week. And I think that it's going to be a major boom or bust. You got the injury risk. You got if the plays, the snaps are going to be there. Do they even use him that much? I think the only conversation that has is if there isn't Achan, do you have any interest in Jeff Wilson, I think is the question. They're facing the Jets, so I'm not that interested in Jeff Wilson. But just would you go Jeff Wilson or Royce Freeman? Jeff Wilson or Najee Harris? Like those kind of conversations.
I would play Najee, but I would play Jeff Wilson over Royce. But
Jeff
Wilson and I'm
or
also
Tyler Allgeier.
I'll just take the ceiling and Jeff Wilson there.
Okay. Yeah, Tyler Allgeier.
But that's only if Achan is Achan.
Achan. Wow, a brand new one. Wow. I haven't heard that one before.
I usually nail it too. That's only if Achan is isn't active. If he was active, then I wouldn't play Jeff Wilson.
Achan. So fancy.
Devon Achan.
Devon Achan. Yeah, so Tyler Allgeier fell under 60% roster, which is, I thought, strange. Like, a lot of people dropped him. I get roster crunch,
I'll pick him up and stash him. I would just in case that matchup is real. Those matchups are real nice, and you just never know.
Not this week. The Saints are this week.
No, you never know.
By the way, Drake London, I'm excited about it. Like, a lot of people, I don't know what happened with the perception there, but a lot of people thought Drake London was only doing things with Tyler Heinicke.
Nothing.
And it was, I know, it was Drake. So not only, I threw these numbers into the column for people just so people understood this, was that Drake London was targeted on 22.7% of his routes with Ridder, only 13% with Tyler Heinicke. Like, yeah. It wasn't.
I think they only played one game together, but yeah. It wasn't a good game. It wasn't like a, yeah, he wasn't his go-to. I thought that we would really see the uptick with Pitts. It was just the same. Pitts and Johnny were both doing things.
So I have two numbers to throw out here. So to go back to that real quick, off-target percentage for Desmond Ridder, 12.1 when throwing to London, 33.3 with Heinicke. Three times. Yeah. But here's the interesting one I want to talk about because it's the next game against the Steelers defense. Joe Burrow, when he went down, was leading the league in catchable target percentage, 84.5, as in his passes are deemed catchable. This is Fantasy Points has this on their site. A few sites that you got to pull it from. Sorry, that's not available free. I wish it was. There's so many of these stats where, like, people are like, where do you get these from? From all these databases that don't like give it for free, unfortunately. But anyway, to go back to that. So leading the league in catchable target percentage, second lowest in off target percentage, 10.7. Jake Browning, 71% catchable, 29% off target. How concerned are you for Ja'Marr Chase and if T. Higgins plays this week? Like, I'm not even going to tell you. First, answer the question, then I'll tell you where I have Ja'Marr Chase.
I am concerned about Ja'Marr. I think we did this I don't know, it was on this show last week, All In, or the FTN Fantasy show on Sirius.
No, it was Thursday. It was Sirius XM.
Okay, like, I had hit.
That would
have
been really impressive
list,
if we did it on last week's show.
Fair. Yeah, it was the Thursday night. That would have been. Going to look into the future here and see what else is going to happen this weekend. I had him. We made a list. I had him just outside 15. And for this spot this week, I got him as a low two. Yeah.
You're more pessimistic than I am. I was just going to say, I have him at 15. So,
at 15. Yeah. I mean, it's the upside, it's the ceiling. I think you're playing him, but I don't think you should play T. Higgins. I don't think that's, if he's active, I don't think it's worth your time.
T. Higgins, I have down at 28 as of right now. He's in the conversation.
A little lower on him, too.
Well, he's in the conversation with Jordan Addison. I have Justin Jefferson back as of now. T. Higgins is there, but like with Tutu Atwell, which, by the way, I don't have Cooper Kupp in my rankings. I have Tutu Atwell at 30. Like, do people forget how good Tutu Atwell was? Like, it's Matthew Stafford's
Kupp
playing.
Came?
Yeah.
Kupp's gone. This is the start of the season. What did it look like at the start of the season? It was a lot of Puka and a lot of Tutu. So I would, those guys as well. Tutu's a guy that's probably hanging on the waiver wire. You could grab him up, and I'd play him over
T. Higgins. First four games. Granted, the fourth game was gross, but the first four games. 6-for-8 for 119, 15th at wide receiver. 7-for-9 for 77, 34th. 4-for-9 with 50 yards and a touchdown for 14th. And then the 5-for-9 for 24 yards. But the 57, 34, 15, 14, right? That's what I have him in the 30th. Range like I think that's I mean I think so
if,
would you
he throws the ball 30 times it's
Tutu Atwell or T. Higgins
2-2. Yeah.
Okay. I think. Yeah. I think that's fair. Would you go Terry McLaurin against Dallas, or T. Higgins, or 2-2 Atwell?
I know a lot of people are sour on Terry this week, but I would play him over those two
over
guys.
All those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to Ja'Marr Chase because I can't do it, but I think there's a way that we can figure out where Ja'Marr Chase should slot in your rankings compared to
mine.
Yeah. Well, because we're going to like toss out some names. Maybe there's probably a way we can do it, right?
I don't know. What do you think? What should we do?
No, I can't. I can't. My throat.
Why?
I have to ask you. Anyways. No, you have to tell me. What do we need to do?
I know what we need to do. We need to make a list.
There you go. See? My throat would be like, I would none. The rest of the show would have been like, it would have been like that one promo read that I tried to read through without coughing. And it just like went downhill. I wish that is no, like it's nowhere to be found. It's gone into the ether of the world. And I was doing a read in Sirius XM and I started having that tickle in my throat. And I tried to like get through it. And so I'm doing this read and I'm going through like, here, let me scroll up to the beginning. I'll just like read somebody's, none of your comments are that long. So anyway, here, I'll read my bio. This is exactly how it's going. So Jake Seeley is rankings, fantasy football, fantasy baseball, candy, movies, video games, cereal, anything. Truly, Jake is a ranking prodigy. Also, he's the senior writer for Real Athletic. And like, that's how bad it was getting because I was trying not to cough. I didn't want to cough and clear my throat in the middle of a read.
It's fair. It's fair. I should have just done it. It happens. You should have just done it. Now you know. Whatever happens. Yeah. Happens to the best of us.
And no one's half the battle. All right. Ja'Marr Chase or let's do this. DJ Moore against Minnesota. DJ Moore?
DJ. Easy. Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase or Tank Dell? Easy against Jacksonville?
Yeah. Tank Dell.
Ja'Marr Chase or Calvin Ridley, which, by the way, thank you everybody out there who is now finally on board with me and finally tweeting out the fact that, the only 300-yard games that Calvin Ridley has had is when Zay Jones. Jake Seeley was saying this week, too. Screw you people. I've been saying this all damn year. So anyway, Calvin Ridley or Ja'Marr Chase?
Calvin Ridley.
Okay. Ja'Marr Chase or your boy, Devonta Smith?
Oh, baby. Yeah, Devonta.
You want this number? Hold on. Let me pull this one up. This is a good one. This is insane. Oh, you knew where I was going. Last year, Devonta Smith went from 21.6 target percentage. That's on his routes, how many times he's targeted, to 24.4. Not a big jump. His team air yard percentage went from 25.9 to 36.9. Decent jump.
Yeah.
This year, he's 15.5 when Goddard's on the field. 30.2 target percentage without Goddard. And even more so, team air yard percentage, 27.3 to 51.6. He's almost doubling both numbers with no Goddard. It's a different team this year. It's all A.J. Brown for most games outside of last week. By the way, his first terrible game since like the middle of last season. But
yeah, I knew it was going to happen.
Devonta Smith is just, it's all different. All right, so Ja'Marr Chase or Nico Collins as well?
I'm going to go Nico.
You're going to go both Houston. Is that with or without Noah Brown?
With, without, don't matter.
Doesn't matter.
No. There's enough pass volume there, and I'm just feeling what CJ is throwing out there, man. I like it. So, yeah, we'll go both guys right now.
You want to, real quick, as we pivot, you want one more? This is insane. So, Noah Brown, great, this is a very small sample. But this is how insane it is of what Noah Brown has done. So, he's leading the league in yards per target, yards per reception, yards per route run. What's the other one? I think, is it all three of those? And he's and by the way, he's the only
points per snap, probably.
There's something else, but because I threw it in with another stat in there, but he's the only wide receiver inside the top five for all three of those.
Amazing. And I would pick him up. I would, I know he was dropped because of the injury. I just think you want a piece of this Texans offense if you can down the stretch. I mean, adjust accordingly. He's not going to have those type of games, but he could be a flex play for you down the stretch, even with Collins and Tank Dell on the field.
Let me ask you something, because I have Singletary in the 20s because I have Damian Pierce playing. Do you think that's fair, or do you think
That's fair. No, I do think that's fair.
Singletary has done so much that he should be inside the top 20.
I think where you have him is like low in RB2. These past couple games have been really good for him, and I expect him to be the lead, even like 80-20.
One toss up.
Yeah,
Khalil Herbert, no Deonta Foreman. Or Devin Singletary with Damian Pierce back?
I think I would go with I think I'll go with Herbert. Actually, you know what? I think I'm going with Singletary. I'm changing my tune. Singletary.
I have them both in the mid 20s, so it's close. Would you go AJ Dillon? Or
I would go Singletary over AJ Dillon, but I think that we could see AJ Dillon have more touches than all three of those guys. Two of them, I guess, Herbert and Mixon.
I would like, again, I have them in the same range tier. All right, let's get back to these wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase or Chris Olave.
I'm going Olave.
What if it's Winston? Even more Olave?
I still go Olave. He targeted him a lot.
No, even more. That's what I'm saying. Like Olave top five if it's Jameis?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. How about who was a lot of fun for a while and then kind of teetered off, mostly because of the quarterback play, but Adam Thielen or Ja'Marr Chase?
Adam Thielen proved me wrong last week. I thought Dallas would do a better job of just doubling him, taking him away. He still got his targets. He was okay in a PPR league. What he had to have been a wide receiver too. He still racked up a like seven catches roughly, I believe. So I would go with him. I think that I got to do it. I think the ceiling's higher for a Chase, but I'm not fully trusting Browning against the Steelers. So yeah, you got to need a couple more guys for me to get to Chase.
Two more. Well, I have two more big ones. These are big ones that have been inconsistent for varying reasons this year. So the first is DeAndre Hopkins against Carolina. Where Ja'Marr
would go Chase there, actually. Carolina's been sneaky good against quarterbacks this year. Bottom 10 in terms of receiving passing yards allowed. CJ Horn.
Yeah, JC Horn.
Yeah, JC.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. Thank you, the reminder for the last name. And then Davante Adams or Ja'Marr Chase. Davante Adams gets Snead, who is actually all of a sudden a lockdown corner. You know what the crazy thing is? If you look at his last six or seven games, the best game against him was Josh Palmer.
I know.
And like the other names are all better than him.
He did not follow AJ in the Super Bowl, and he followed AJ everywhere on the field on Monday.
Like a blanket.
So he's gonna follow Davante Adams everywhere too. He has taken a couple like handsy penalties. These things happen, but he is really good lockdown corner. He's gonna follow Adams. And they took away AJ perfectly in that game, and Devontae's gonna he stepped up. He's gonna have to do that too. And Jacoby Myers, you know, not that I'm crazy about starting him, but I could see Jacoby having a better day than Devontae.
Yeah, I'm just dropping Jacoby Myers if I.
I get it. I don't want to play him either. This is a brutal offense.
Let's kind of get through a couple more of these, a little quick hit version. Well, quick hitter-ish. Sure. I tried to see how many ducks Lauren would give her boy, Derrick Henry, yesterday, because we did the show yesterday because the voice on Monday was unspeakable voice.
Yeah.
I don't know. So Derrick Henry, she originally came out with like four ducks. I was like, wow. Do you really want to? I know. I was like, but we have December Derrick coming up and the schedule is pretty good. Gets Houston twice. Derrick Henry this week and this week only, though.
I love him this week.
Do you?
Oh, that's what I was about. I mean, Carolina is one of the worst matchups ever of all time. The second most fantasy points to running backs. I mean, they've allowed the second most points overall. Their rush
DVOA defense. Jalen Warren for Derrick Henry? Really?
Yeah, I think I would.
That much?
Yeah, I think I would. I do see Warren trending up, but yeah, I would trade Derrick.
Crazy?
I would give me Derrick.
He's averaging on 4.2 yards per carry, which is tied for the lowest of his career. It was back with DeMarco Murray and Marcus Mariota, but still 4.2.
Yeah, like that's not bad. Most guys, the lowest, you know, it's like 3.7. Right? These guys are having bad years. They're 3.7, 3.6. So he's still the guy. He's still the goal line guy. Yes, like him this week. And I like those two matchups against the Texans. Historically, you have to. If he has 150 rushing yards in each one of those games, it would be a letdown for him, considering what he has done in his career against the Texans.
So, all right, with that, how about this for a letdown? Cleveland against the Broncos run defense. The run defense is highly exploitable. Hasn't been as exciting for everyone involved like last week. And on the flip side of that, your boy Javonte Williams, the bell cow rolls there, but that was terrible last week.
It wasn't last week. They didn't run the football. Maybe credit to the Vikings and good run defense.
But now they get the Browns. Jerome Ford versus Javonte Williams versus this week versus Derrick Henry. I'm assuming you're taking Derrick Henry over both of them.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, and I do like Ford more than I like Javonte. The Cleveland has shown me that they really want to run the football, right? They have to with inexperienced play at the quarterback
Javonte
position.
Williams or Jalen Warren this week?
I would go Jalen Warren this week. But they are neck and they are side. No, you're good, man. They're side by side in my rankings. Yeah, I was really surprised with the usage, and I really like Javonte as a pass catcher. But it's clear Samaje, just the pass protection upside that he has, 2 minute drill stuff. We saw it last week.
So. Javonte Williams or Zach Charbonnet?
Charbonnet.
This is around Javonte Williams or AJ Dillon. I'm going AJ Dillon.
Yeah, that one I would think I would take the upside, and it's real. That one's really close to me. I think I would take Javonte, but
James Conner.
Yeah, I would take Conner
as well.
Yeah,
Conner. This is rough. Let's go to the Ravens. I want to talk about the Ravens as a whole real quick, because the Chargers' run defense is a terrific matchup.
Their entire defense is trash.
Well, that's true. But Gus Edwards, we're banking on a touchdown. But the reason I want to bring this up is because, where do you feel Gus Edwards should rank this week? The touchdown rate is ridiculous. He's on that pace like RB1 every single week. But this is the only reason I'm bringing this up. But because what if the Ravens defense lets up a little bit and they have to pass? Does that still mean Gus Edwards? It probably doesn't. Probably means Keaton Mitchell and Zay Flowers. And that's why I wanted to bring this conversation around, is because Zay Flowers too, with no Mark Andrews, Isaiah likely maybe in play. How are you attacking this entire Ravens offense? Like, is Gus Edwards top 15 or just on the touchdown upside, or should he be lower on the risk of all the stuff I'm bringing up?
It's such a good question, because when I was putting together my ranks last night and I see the consensus of him 21-22, and I'm just like, well, he's got as many touchdowns as CMC on the ground. Like, this is a guy that scores every game. Can I rank him like that? Do I rank him because he's scoring a touchdown this week? It's happening.
So would you play your boy Pacheco or Gus Edwards?
I think I would play Gus Edwards if I have the two.
Okay.
Mixing with the matchup, the fact that I know that the Ravens are going to score 20 points.
You just said something. This is why I hate. I wish I could. So I still use. I'm out of the competition because the Athletic pulled us out of the fantasy football thing, yeah, because it was getting gamed last year. I think they corrected it or whatever. But I still use their widget because it's a very friendly widget. It's an awesome looking widget. But I wish you could pull out the ECR, because not everybody updates it. And then there's still people gaming the system, because you just brought it. Like, because it's like just like, oh, I'll just rank near what everybody else ranks. And even if you're right on these big calls, like Tony Pollard last week, I think I had an RB18. He finished it like RB15. Like, the benefit of that versus ranking him still 10 and you missed on that, you should have ranked him lower, is not as great as just like getting number three right. Like, if you get number three right, perfect, great. It's basically a DFS contest. I'm not saying that to crap all over him. I'm saying to take that with a grain of salt, because we're having this conversation and you just said it. I think this is what people miss in these ranks. And that's why I do the game previews now, is because too many people are asking like, well, why do you have him here? What's the basis behind it? And I think this is the things that get lost, is Gus Edwards. Is he really not going to score a touchdown? Like, that's really what it is. And so you look at it and say, like, for me, Kyren Williams right now is RB 13. He's going to be back. They cut Daryl Henderson. Consensus at him 29. That just means people haven't updated yet, because it's going to come back around. And this is why I hate this. So anyway, to go all of this, actually, Mr. Nice Guy just brought up what I was about to bring up. Gus Edwards versus Ramondre Stevenson versus Joe Mixon versus Raheem Mostert versus Isaiah Pacheco. Like, is Gus over all of those for you because he's going to score?
He's over Stevenson, Mixon. I put him ahead of Pacheco. I put him ahead just a touch. I do like that matchup for Pacheco, too.
Do you put him ahead of Bijan Robinson against the Saints?
No, I won't put him ahead, but I mean, the matchup is better, and he's a guy that's scoring touchdowns, and Bijan's not, even the last time I believe we saw him, he did score. But
let's go back to mine.
He is the lead. He's going to get
play 15, him over first game back, Kyren Williams.
Yeah, I would.
Just because of that risk? I don't know. That the cutting of Daryl Henderson tells me he's back, and like fully back.
I agree, too. But.
And it's Arizona.
He's been good. Like, he's been. It's just
But here's the weekly finishes by Kyren Williams before he got hurt. 7-4, 26, 3, 30, and 2. He's never finished lower than 30, and he's finished top 10, top 7 four times. I'm putting Kyren Williams back in my flipping lineup.
I am too. I would play him, but if we're comparing between the two guys, I'm playing Gus Edwards. So some of these weeks lately, 20, 28, 17, 9, and 20, like, I can't ignore that. He's on a touchdown streak. 5 in a row. My goodness. What is happening?
Look, I'm with you. Like, this is something we talked about. Like, I brought up the Mark Ingram comparison, but so he is.
Would you sell him? You got the bye next week. You got the Rams, Jags. You got San Fran week 16. Would you? I mean, it's tough to sell these guys. Why would you sell him? He's like your third RB. You've been rolling out.
Nobody's going to trade what he should even get as like an even sell. So you're not like. So you brought up Gus Edwards. And I'm not saying he's not this touchdown streak. But if you look at even before the touchdown streak, let's just include his entire season. 41, 18, 42, 38, 35, 35. And then he goes 6, 1, 7, 28, and 3. I think that's why he's at 20, because you're basically cutting the difference between top 10 and that 35 to 40 finish, where, like, again, he doesn't get, he gets 10 for 50 on the ground or something like that.
Yeah. But what, like, we can say about this matchup,
people are hedging.
Yeah. They're hedging, but it really is a great matchup. I know that.
Okay. So let's get through a few more of these. Chuba Hubbard over Miles Sanders still for you. By the way, Chuba Hubbard, since the switch happened, all of the goal line attempts, all of the goal to go attempts, all of them. Miles Sanders, big fat zero.
I thought I saw Miles maybe with goal line. I think I saw him roughly around the 10. So it's Chuba over
since
Miles.
The switch happened. Since the switch happened. Okay.
Neither of these.
We talked to Singletary
good.
And Pierce, Pacheco. We talked the Bills. James Cook still playing for you at this point?
I didn't love him last week against the Jets, even though it was a good matchup, and he scored a receiving touchdown. So, yeah, the way that Pacheco ran on the Eagles, I mean, they're still only allowing 76 rushing yards a game. They allowed over 100 in the first half of that game.
James Cook, or that was my throat. That wasn't me. I hate when people say James Cooks. James Cook or Javonte Williams?
I would play James Cook.
Okay. It was like that episode of Friends. I'm fine. When
I'm
you put
fine.
A D at the end of fine, you're not fine. The Bears we already hit on because likely no Deonta Foreman, which means Khalil Herbert. Rocket to the moon. Let's go. I don't know about to the moon, but let's talk real quick before we get to some wide receivers and out of here. The Vikings. Alexander Mattison is the lead. Still got more opportunities. Still was the lead option, but Ty Chandler outplayed him. This is new version Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. This is basically the Steelers are on the Vikings. Done.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
Yeah.
However, the offense actually works. And both of them actually get to do things outside of if they don't score a touchdown, they still have value. The question comes down to this week for Minnesota against Chicago, which I've brought up to you for weeks, and they continue to do it. They're facing good running backs and continue to have the highest run stuff percentage. The Bears are limiting, they're not completely shutting down, but they are limiting run games. And I think people keep overlooking this because they're like, oh, the Bears defense, do whatever you want on them. No, pass on them. But you know who they are? They're the new Titans from last year. Pass all over them, don't run against them. So I bring this up to say, would you play Madison or Chandler heads up versus each other? Are either of them even top 30 running backs for you?
No, they're not top 30 backs. You know that I like Chandler, and it's more so on Madison. He put the ball on the ground again last week, and then they went to Chandler. But what happened on the first play that they went to Chandler? He struggled in pass protection, and they got after Dubs and hit him, and he threw a pick. So I don't think that Madison's going away. I think that they do trust him more as in pass protection situations. But clearly Ty Chandler looks better, right? With the ball in his hands, catching passes. I would play him in a PPR league over Madison, and I probably would lean Madison over him in a half point setting, but these guys are neck and neck in my rankings as flex plays.
Okay. Then let's talk to some wide receivers before we get out of here. Saw his name mentioned a few times and Tampa Bay. And let's talk about not Mike Evans, because Mike Evans has been great. But Chris Godwin, rebound game. I feel like the Colts, by the way, both sides of this game, if this game doesn't hit the over, I'll be shocked. I want to watch this just for fun. I'm going to be disappointed if this game doesn't hit the over because neither team could defend the pass.
Can stop anybody. Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. And Chris Godwin, he just faced the 49ers. Not a good matchup. Like, I had Chris Godwin down in the low 30s, and people are like, well, Chris Godwin. But because, look, Houston, you brought it up, 6 for 2 receptions and 16 yards. Houston's been better than people realize. Tennessee, middle of the pack. You don't throw all over him, but 4 for 54. Before that, he had 15, 11, 10, 15. Is Chris Godwin getting too much hate, or do you think Chris Godwin's a concern at this point?
I think there's certainly reasons to be concerned. I mean, he's got one touchdown. He's still getting the targets, though, which is nice. Like, the volume is there. He's had at least 6 targets in every game dating back to week 3. 7, 12, 7, 6, 6, 7.
If we're going to just keep doing new things, you know who he is. You ready? He's Chris Myers. He's new Jacoby Myers. Jacoby yeah. Godwin. I like Jacoby Godwin better than Chris
Jacoby
Myers.
Godwin's Chris not Myers bad. Like, actually, yeah.
Jacoby Godwin.
Yeah, I think this is the week where you could play him as a wide receiver three or a flex. You have this guy, you're probably rolling him out every week and you're just disappointed. Like, what wide receivers could you play over him? Jaden Reed? I wouldn't do it.
Ooh, that's interesting.
I really like Justin Watson as a pickup, but I don't think I would play Watson.
Would you
either.
Play Josh Downs?
I actually
Downs
believe in the volume.
Josh Downs is supposed
that.
To be back,
yes,
but we get this.
I would.
Well, because in the same game, this one's interesting. You know I love Josh Downs. I had Josh yeah. Downs, and he's another one I had in the waiver column with Romeo Doubs. It's like preseason, and he's yeah. still sitting up. And then he got dropped. He wasn't there. He finally hit the threshold, and then because of the injury and the bye, he got dropped. So he dropped back under the 60%, so he's back in waivers. That being said, there was this report that came out yesterday, in case people missed it, that he's been dealing with a knee issue that dates back to the preseason that he's been playing through. Do you have any concern with this? Do you, like, if he's out there, we're doing this Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. We might get a practice report at 2 that says full practice.
Yeah.
But let's just say it's limited. Do you have any concern with Downs?
I mean, I think he's a risky play if he's limited, but there's no questionable tag next to him right now. And what's funny is there's only two wide receivers on this team that has over 264 receiving yards. That's not a high number. No. It's Downs and it's Pittman. That's it. Minshew's throwing the ball to basically two guys. And Downs has like a $150 less than Pittman on nearly 40 fewer targets. So the big play ability is there for him. And I look at the targets when he wasn't dealing with he was limited in week 9 and 10. But before that, 8, 6, and 9 targets, 5 grabs in each one of those games, 125 yards, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns over the 3. I like him as a pickup. His ownership is 54%. I think he's a solid flex play this week. I'd be willing to risk the upside. But
let's
yeah,
back up to somebody brought up earlier. Would you go Josh Downs or Drake London?
I would go with Drake London. Oh, man,
Drake London
close.
Or Tyler Lockett?
In San Fran, is Geno playing? If it's Drew Lock, forget about it.
Oh, forget about it. But let's assume it's Geno. The reason I brought up Tyler Lockett is because similar to Chris Godwin,
San Fran's giving up some plays.
San Fran's giving up some plays to the bigger wide receiver, the outside mm-hmm. wide receiver more so. Like we just saw, Mike Evans scored. Chris Godwin yep. shut down. Tyler Lockett, similar to Chris. That's why I brought it up. I think that in that case, I could see a case where Tyler Lockett is behind Drake and possibly even Chris Godwin.
Yeah, and this is good. Like you said, going back to this game, I think it's a funner fantasy environment. Like, this is a game where I think both teams are going to flirt with 24 points, and I can't say that with confidence in Seattle putting up 3 touchdowns against San Fran. Sling okay. with the upside. It's riskier, though, man. It really is a riskier play. Sitting Lockett for Downs or Godwin, but I think I'm there.
All right, one more before we get out of here, and I want to get to this, and selfishly want to get to this because I want to see if I can get somebody to agree with me, because nobody is as of yet. But assuming he plays, obviously, here's a perfect example of people not updating the consensus rank so far, because I have this wide receiver at 47. Consensus has him at 120. That just means the majority of people don't have him playing. But assuming Jalen Guyton plays for the Chargers, I would play him clearly ahead of Quentin Johnston, and I have him inside my top 50, because what did I say to you and to everybody in that first game? They both scored. They both ran the same amount of routes. They're both used the same. But who's having issues? Quentin Johnson's having issues. Jalen Guyton's been with this team. Granted, he has to stay healthy. But Quentin Johnson has now 2 drop touchdowns, including one that cost him the game last week. Can't get his routes right. Can't get the connection right. I think if Jalen Guyton is out there this week, Justin Herbert and this team, whether or not the snaps are there, I think they're tired of him. I think Jalen Guyton is the number 2 if he's playing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I still think Palmer's a great stash too, because he's going to be the number 2 when if he comes back. If you're just looking ahead, I mean, this matchup is just so brutal. But it's no.
I mean, I have Guyton with Gabe Davis, yeah, and Khalil Shakir and Christian Watson, but
I would play Shakir over Guyton.
I could see that. You know, like, I have Quentin Johnson all the way down to 72.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Basically, and I do too. Playable. Like, Quentin Johnson's okay. just.
Quentin Johnson can't. Or Jalen Hyatt with no Darius Slayton.
Yeah, I mean, give me Hyatt, give me Dotson, Elijah, Perry, Judy, all these guys over Quentin Johnson at this moment.
Dotson? Yeah. Curtis Samuel didn't get kicked out of the game.
Over Quentin Johnson, week. For sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know about that one. Johan Dawson.
You have him well ahead of Quentin Johnson in your rankings.
This is like with iffy Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel is definitely out there. I don't know. Like Johan Dawson.
Again, you know who I like, honestly? And I know that he was all the jokes on Tuesday morning with the drops. No. My dart throw of the week now, and we had this on Mean Streets on Monday, was a big game for Justin Watson. And I know he had a bunch of drops, but I cannot ignore 11 targets. And teams are taking away Travis Kelce. It is happening. And Travis Kelce is dealing with a numerous amount of injuries. He's been saying it all year on the podcast. He left that game with the ankle injury. He came back. He's battling through it. I'm seeing teams double and triple. And there's really nobody. Sky Moore, where are you? Kadarius Toney, where are you?
Oh, he doesn't. No. He doubly like, doesn't exist. Here's the only thing. I would play Watson.
Where are you? Can't catch.
My problem with this is because he's just like MVS. We've done this before, and the opportunities aren't consistent, and the usage isn't consistent. That being said,
he's trending up. I really do.
That being said, I would say if you're looking at it in DFS specifically, because his ADOT is similar to Jalen Hyatt's, it's just when Patrick Mahomes chucks it downfield, he's going to Justin Watson. Like that's what he does. So I don't mind that, but I'm still going to like the route percentage. This is the first time. It's still 67% last week. Marcos Valdes-Scantling, like he did lead the team, but Marcos Valdes-Scantling was at 61, and then Rashee Rice took a little bit of a step back. But that's my biggest thing is like it's still the consistency of being on the field. Trending up is relative. I mean, it's not a giant.
I'm telling you, somebody needs to step up inside that offense, and I've just seen
saying
him
this
over
all
the
year
past
long.
Couple.
He had 71% of the routes in week 9 before they hit their bye. He's had 70% earlier this season, 60%
in week 4. I can't ignore the 11 targets. The 11 targets. It just and if he can be coached up a little bit, I think the biggest thing with Kansas City is three straight weeks in the second half without scoring any points is remarkable. But they really do miss Bienemy here, I believe. Like you could see the disconnect. He's supposed to run a go route. He cuts in. If he just runs straight, it's a touchdown to the house. He would have had a 70-yard touchdown. So there's definitely some inexperience of everybody inside this wide receiver room in Kansas City.
Well, then last tip before we get out of here.
Keep an eye on Watson.
The Pat Mayo special. Take the under on receptions and the over on yards for Justin Watson yards. Because it breaks the system and the acronym. Not that. What's the word I'm looking for?
Algorithm.
Thank you. I'm on drugs because of my medicine.
It's just probably not
I'm on drugs. Pull that clip. We'll be back. I would start a little bit longer show this week because everybody's playing. Thanksgiving. Enjoy your food coma, all the good sides, lots of bread and stuffing. And we'll be out of here until Monday with waivers for week 13.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, including people in Canada who already celebrated it a month ago.
That's right. Peace.